I will do what a president can do all by herself on the very first day.
If you want to do something about racial justice and immigration reform and climate change and gun safety, we need a candidate who is actually going to bring people with her.
With her, by herself. Both Amy Klobuchar and Elizabeth Warren referred to the presidency with female pronouns during the most recent presidential debate. That caught the ear of the New York Times' Jessica Bennett.
I've always been really fascinated by the way that small linguistic turns of phrase can actually reflect culture, but sometimes even impact it. And I was surprised to find that something as simple as a pronoun, she or her, could actually potentially influence the way we think about candidates.
Bennett's a writer and editor at the New York Times focused on gender and culture, and is the author of the book Feminist Fight Club. And she told me there's new research out of MIT on Americans' use of the she pronoun when talking about presidential candidates.
Researchers found that people sort of hesitate to use she or her when talking about a hypothetical president. And then they found that in a reading setting, the word actually causes people to cognitively stumble. They lose a third of a second in reading time, which is significant when you think about reading time. And the way that they measured this was they observed people clicking through a touch screen where they were reading sentences. And every time they were moving to a new word, they had to touch the screen. And as soon as the word she or her popped up, they sort of stumbled.
So it's basically like some sort of a speed bump during the sentence that they just like, wait, this doesn't make sense.
That's exactly how it is. And I think that people aren't necessarily conscious of this, but it's causing them to cognitively sort of do a double take.
So is this both in terms of how people read as well as how they speak?
Yeah, what the researchers found was that in speaking categories, they were less likely or more reluctant to use that word. They were looking at primarily voters in the lead up to the 2016 election. They were thinking, of course, language influences the way people think, and also world events influence language. So this was a time when many people believed Hillary Clinton may in fact be president. So could that actually have an impact on the way that people spoke? And what they found, which they were somewhat surprised by, was that no, it turns out it didn't seem to influence language.
So is there evidence that our reluctance to use the she pronoun could actually affect our willingness to vote for a woman?
So that's sort of the million-dollar question. Can you connect linguistic biases to actual biases? There's not concrete evidence to support that, but the theory is that all of this plays a role in how we think about power. And oftentimes lurking behind our language are actually sort of unconscious or subconscious beliefs about who can be in positions of power. And so the researchers posit that, yeah, you know, it is possible that this can actually influence who we are voting for, because there's this whole idea of needing to normalize the idea that a woman can be president. And if we're so tripped up by a mere pronoun, does that mean we're tripped up by the concept at large?
When I think of all the countries that have had women prime ministers or presidents, Sri Lanka, India, Israel, so many really, it really does make me wonder about this country and its own hangups. Is this an especially American phenomenon?
So what was really interesting was that they replicated the study a year later in the UK. What they found there was that people were actually less reluctant to use the pronoun. And of course, the UK had Theresa May at the time and has had Thatcher. And so there's this evidence, I guess, to show that having women in power, having women in the highest office, can in fact have an impact. I mean, it's sort of this catch-22 in a lot of ways, because it's like, to normalize the language and the feeling, you have to have the person, but to get the person, you kind of need to normalize the language and the feeling. So there is research that shows even that the fact that we are talking about this and that we continue to talk about these questions of can a woman be president or is she electable actually goes toward proving that it's a valid question in the first place. And so research has found that in some cases, even talking about a potential bias can actually increase the bias.
So this is what we're actually doing right now, is potentially increasing the bias, the gender bias.
I definitely had that thought when I was writing the piece. And I think the researchers had that thought when they were conducting the study. But, you know, these are critical things that we're talking about here.
Is it clear whether someone who takes more time to use the word she in relation to, say, a president or a presidential candidate is more likely to harbor doubts than someone who takes less time?
I don't think necessarily. I think that we would find that even people like you and I might stumble subconsciously or unconsciously over that word. And it was interesting. I was speaking with the linguist Deborah Tannen, who has done a lot of work on this topic. And she was telling me a story about how even she has found herself getting tripped up by these types of things. Mm. So she recently met with a group of female judges. And the judges were describing how they were often, when they were presiding over the court, referred to as sir. And their theory was that, you know, people are nervous, they're trying to show respect, and they are calling these women sir. And Deborah Tannen was saying, who is Dr. Tannen, she has a PhD, that she has made that same slip up when it comes to the word doctor, assuming that a doctor was a man, not a woman. And she, of course, is doctor and goes by doctor. So even she, the linguist who studies gender and language, does it.
You also spoke to a famed linguist, Robin Lakoff, about this. What does she have to say about what's in play here?
She was one of the first linguists to really study this idea that the way we speak not only reflects the culture and the moment in time, but it can actually have subtle, small influences on the way we see things. And so to her, this was really reflective of the way that maybe we are not quite ready to see a woman in power, which she sees as evidenced by 2016. But again, to what we were talking about previously, the more we keep talking about this, to what extent does that actually make it a valid question to be asking?
Have candidates themselves taken any of this into account in their campaigns that we can see?
Yeah, so in the last Democratic debate, there were a couple of moments where Elizabeth Warren and then Amy Klobuchar both used she and her to refer to not just themselves, but a future president. So Warren said, if I am elected on my first day in office, I will do anything that's possible for a president to do all by herself. So whether that was conscious or not, she is using the pronoun. She's not using they. She's not using he or she. And we've seen Kamala Harris, when she was still on the debate stage, doing this very frequently and, in fact, has spoken about how she really thinks about language and the importance of language. And when she took office in California, in fact, went back through the laws and removed all of the male pronouns from a lot of the statutes. And that's actually what we've seen a number of states do in recent years. Washington State, where I'm from originally, is one of them, where they've gone back through and taken words like ombudsman that were in the law and changed them to be gender neutral, ombuds.
So we know that this bias exists. Sexism is real. What can we do about it?
I think what we can do about it is try to remember that a lot of the subtleties, a lot of these subtly sexist things make their way into our everyday language. And it's not necessarily our fault. But, you know, we have all of these words that are inherently male. The word she or the word woman does not appear in the Declaration of Independence. What does that subtly send as a message to women in this country? And it's been actually funny to see, as we have this historic number of women who won in the 2018 midterm elections, to keep seeing the word written and spoken, freshman congresswoman, over and over again. And it's such a tiny thing, but why are they freshmen? Why is male the default in so much of our language? And the question, of course, is does that have an impact?
Jessica Bennett is a writer and editor at the New York Times focused on gender and culture. Jessica, thanks as always.
Thank you.
And we'd love to hear from you. Have any of the female candidates' pronoun use stood out to you? How might these issues play out with a future candidate who uses a pronoun like they? And how do we get better at talking about our biases? We're at 877-8-MY-TAKE, and that's it for us today. Thanks for being with us. Till tomorrow, I'm Arun Venugopal, and this is The Takeaway.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.